I always say there's two kinds of photographers. You know, you get your artists and you get your technically great photographers. And at the end of the day, the artist will always win, because you get guys who will get the perfect shot every single time, but they're out there photographing cars and buildings and, you know, not most exciting stuff. Whereas you get people who have the ideas, and they are never going to be as skilled at photography, but the content wins. You know, if anything, push for that creative side of it and work out how to use the camera later.
This is the Inno the Buzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 86 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Matt Barnett of Bonjoro, a video messaging app that allows you to record a one-on-one personalized video message for your customer. Matt also runs Verbate, which is a platform for gathering user-generated video in the form of surveys and questionnaires. Matt and I discuss the power of video to build relationships with connections online today. We also discussed customer service and the importance of culture and brand in growing a thriving business. This is another fascinating interview with a lot of valuable insights provided by Matt. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Matt Barnett.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and it's a great privilege to welcome to today's episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from Sydney in Australia, Matt Barnett, who's Papa Bear at Bonjoro and head honcho of Verbate. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thanks, Jürgen. Great to be here.
Now, you might wonder at the novel job titles that Matt has, and I'm keen to explore the reasons behind that in today's podcast. I suspect it might have something to do with the company culture and having fun, but we'll hear more from Matt about that. Now, Bonjoro is a video messaging app that allows you to record one-on-one personalized video messages for your customers. And Verbate is a platform for gathering user-generated video in the form of surveys or questionnaires. So as you can tell, Matt's very much into video, and I'd love to explore some more about the power of video in today's internet world. Now, I recently discovered Bonjoro and signed up and promptly received a welcome video from Matt via Bonjoro, and as a result, we have him on the podcast today. So before we start talking about video and innovation then, Matt, let's find out a little bit more about you as a person. So you were always into video, and I know you're a hobby photographer as well. So what did you have in mind when you were a child that you wanted to do when you grew up?
So I was always going to go into business, to be honest. I kind of grew up in that environment. But at heart, I am a creative. So I was an industrial designer for 7 years, worked as an art photographer for a couple of years as well, exhibited all around the world, and then moved from the UK over to Australia, and ultimately met a business partner at the time who was in tech. And I mean, if we look at it, to be honest, starting a business, I still think it's probably the most creative thing that you can do. So whereas it's not necessarily fine art or industrial design, it does stretch your mind and ability to come up with new solutions, solve problems. And so we have kind of design like very core to the heart of what we do. But I guess this has been where I've been aiming to get to in my life anyway, which is kind of handy. So it's all working out pretty well so far.
That's good. Yeah. And it's interesting you say about the creative process of starting a business, and I know you're very focused on customer service. And I had Ali McGill on the podcast a while ago, and he talks about customer service as a creative process, and that being innovation. So it's fascinating to hear you talk in that language too.
Yeah, I think creativity is a very broad spectrum. I think the danger is that people just think creativity is the realm of designers and artists and as such, whereas the reality is creativity is just an approach to life, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's like all the creativity means is that on that spectrum of where everyone, I guess, thinks and behaves, is that you're at the opposite end to, well, yeah, or further away from the median of everyone else, and therefore you're seen as creative. And to start a new business and to come out of nowhere and to build it up, you have to be creative. And every single one of your processes, you know, your accounting can be creative. You know, your operations can. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, you can be a creative in that industry. And if you are, and if you think that way, you are more likely to succeed in the terms of, I think, breaking new ground and actually potentially building something much bigger than anyone else.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy to have, I think. Now, tell us a little bit then about Bonjoro. Let's start with that one.
Yeah, so Bonjoro was not a product we set out to build. It was birthed from a customer success hack that we did, which was on the other product for Bait. We work with agencies around the world. We're obviously based here in Australia. Most of our clients are London and New York, being the agency epicenters. So obviously when people signed up and leads came into our funnel, we were never or almost never online at that time. So rather than sending out the kind of, you know, the usual automated messaging, we built a little hack whereby we would send a video to every single person that signed up. And the thought was, look, A, it's a bit of fun. B, we are incredibly strong on culture and we're very good at winning clients to our side. So we knew that if we could put face first as the first piece of communication, we would probably have quite a lot of luck with that. As it was, we got triple the response rates. Send those videos rather than sending emails. We, off the back of that, tripled our demo rates. So I'd be on the ferry from away to Manly to the city, and you know, see that Ogilvy had signed up and drop, you know, John Ogilvy a message and say, hey John, great to have you on board. I'm Matt. I'm the head honcho here. I may be on a boat, but we also have a great business, and this is what we do. And I'll be in London in 6 weeks. We'd love to catch up. And they come back and they would think it was hilarious. And you know, off the back of that, we started to grow the business, and then. Again, we just thought, well done us. But eventually, as happens, some of those customers turned around and said, this is pretty cool. Can we use it? And we did say that, and we said no for 6 months because we know when you run a new company, you have to be razor sharp focused. So we palmed it off. And then I think one Friday with beers, I'm sitting down with my CTO. We both look at each other and we're like, you know, we know how to build this. And we're like, yeah, I guess so. So we started building it, went out there. Tested it with a load of closed clients, the scrappiest version of it, and I guess it just built from there.
Yeah, that's great. And so tell us a little bit about what it does then, just for those listeners that don't know it, because you've only been in the public domain since December, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So late December. So ultimately what it does is it's an app and a platform. And it plugs straight into your CRM. So if you're using anything from a MailChimp, a ConvertKit, to a Salesforce or Infusionsoft or Intercom, it plugs in and you can build certain rules. So the most common one here is that when you get a sign up, we have a little app and you get a push notification on the app when that sign up comes in. And you click on that person's profile and you can record them a welcome message at the simplest use case. So we give you information about a person. So let's say, you know, Brian signs up from the ASX. You can obviously then tailor that video towards Brian, saying his name and talking a little bit about the ASX and maybe the next steps they should take for your business. You press go. That video is then delivered to Brian's email address. So he doesn't need to have an app to receive this. And you go back to your work. Now, obviously, when he gets that email is formatted and branded as your company. He opens a video, it plays, he realizes it's for him personally, and then there's a small call to action button at the end of the video. Now, the results from this are all tracked as well, so you can see how many people view and share and open those videos. But ultimately, all you're doing here really is, and this is the funny thing, is the perception is that you're going above and beyond for customer service. When they actually realize someone in the company has taken the time to say welcome, it has massive impact by having that process whereby it ties into your CRM, notifies you, and you can go back to work, you know, a minute later. your workflow is hardly disrupted. And in fact, it's actually quicker than sending an email. But again, the perception is going above and beyond for customers. And because most processes in the world by now, 99.9% are automated, it stands out like you wouldn't believe. But very simply, it's just doing what we've always done, which is making personal connections, but trying to do it in a very scalable way.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there's so much good about that, as you say, making the personal connection and making it really easy to, in a minute or so, reach out to somebody on a personal level. And then the technology part of it, making use of video to actually do that. So I think you said in your introduction video when you sent me my welcome message that, you know, putting a face to the name makes so much difference, which I think, yeah, that's definitely important. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on the power of video for the internet today, because I think, you know, there's a whole underlying philosophy there.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, first of all, the term video, although that's what it is, is kind of a funny one, because I think we're still in this state where everyone's boxing video into one kind of area. And it's funny, you think, yeah, video at the end of the day is a medium, the same as, you know, audio is a medium or writing is a medium, but we don't obviously put those into boxes. But I think people think video and they go, right, HD video, content, you know, let's get it all done. Whereas now video is kind of breaking boundaries away from that. So for us, like, I'd say it's actually really about communication. And video just happens to be a very quick and easy way to capture, I guess, yourself speaking and talking to a customer. We specifically focus down on mobile video, so it's not high definition, but it is with you. Obviously, mobile is with you all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's not so much the fact that it's a video. It's almost more the fact that you're taking the time for clients. Now, inevitably, video captures, you know, not just the words you say, which are probably about, you know, 20% of communication, but it captures the tone of voice, which is another 30%. And then it captures, you know, your facial expression, which is another kind of 30% on top of that. And then you've also got the environment that you're in and the gestures that you're using to speak. Everything that, you know, when we meet someone, we, you know, spend the first 3 seconds analyzing them and then working out what kind of person they are. So really all we're doing is, by the terms of video, is giving your team a way to get your culture across to a customer. Hopefully, obviously, your team will align that. Have a bit of fun. Communicate in a stronger way with tone of voice and obviously expression as well. But like I say, it's not this kind of box of HD video, which I think everyone's starting to understand now. It's just communication version 3.0. Which in fact is just communication that, you know, 0.0.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talk a lot about to my customers about communication and building relationships online, and that it's really no different than what you're used to doing offline. It's just that the technology that you're using and the tools that you're using might be a little different, but the philosophy is the same, isn't it?
It is. Look, and if you're not, here's the crux of it. Look at all of our customers. They all have great cultures. And that's dependent whether they, you know, a solopreneur or a blogger to, you know, a Basecamp or a Buffer or Bare Metrics or some of the bigger companies that use us. They all have great cultures. And they, at heart, are willing to spend time with every single customer. And they're willing to build those relationships with those customers. There are many brands out there that I'm sure Bonjour would not work for because it's not in their culture to do that. Or the other side of it is that, you know, maybe some of their team would do it, but the company necessarily doesn't have the trust or the ability to let their teammates go wild
and sales
with customers, you know, which says a lot for a brand. Like, I'll be honest, I think companies are changing and need to become more transparent. But it's definitely a tool for a certain culture.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I just had to laugh a little bit there because thinking back to my days in the corporate world when you know, there were certain there were certain people of whom it was said we wouldn't take them out to customers. So that certainly does depend. So you mentioned culture, and one of the things I did want to explore because, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that you've given yourself some fun titles, and I know that Bonjoro, the whole branding, is a very fun experience. So if you, if people visit the website there, it's based around a bear, and a lot of the staff are pictured in bear suits a lot of the time. So it's quite a fun culture. So what do you think is really important about culture and building that culture in a startup?
Yeah, so it's funny. So I actually wrote a post about this recently that I don't, I think culture is one of the things that gets left until the end in most startups.
That's right, which is sort of, you have a culture by default if you haven't addressed it at the beginning, don't you?
Exactly, yeah. People let that happen, and then suddenly gets 20 people and go, oh, we should probably look at culture. you know, the funny thing is, I think brand falls into this as well. They're very closely related, culture and brand. So people think brand is just a logo. It's not at all. The logo is the last part of the brand. And this comes down to what I was saying a minute ago, is that where you need to trust your team to behave in the right way. The very easy way to do that is by having the right culture so that you do speak with the same voice, you know, and this filters down, you know, to hiring as well. And if you are focused on culture as a new company, look, A, it's one of the best ways to stand out. I think everyone thinks, you know, as a startup that it comes down to funding and products and growth. Cultures and brand is one of the things that is missed off here. And yet it's an incredibly powerful way to compete. And this almost kind of like you see, I think something was published a while ago where they said that two out of five successful CEOs actually have creative or design backgrounds. And I wonder if it's because they've actually addressed brand and culture earlier. Because I say, look, what it does is it helps stand out in the marketplace. It helps you hire, which is crucial when you have a small team, more crucial than anything because you can't afford to make mistakes. We put out a role for a CS person in the States. I think we had maybe 70 or 80 applicants by video. Within a week, we were overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And we actually took the time to tell every single person why we weren't taking them. And we've got someone coming on starting today, which is wonderful. But every person who didn't come in just came back and said, look, you guys have an amazing culture. You know, I'm kind of gutted I'm not in there. And it's this idea, you know, of like everyone who joins us gets to order their own branded bear suit on day one, completely custom made for them. Clients who hit 500 Bonjouros, we send them and their team bear suits out there and celebrate our customers as much as our team. Everything's about having a bit of fun. It's interesting because you look at, you know, we're a B2B company, you know, we're a business company. And yet I think the lines between business and personal lives are just becoming massively blurred, and that's a great thing. So one of our kind of core values is if you're not having fun, then stop doing it. What I mean here is that if you're doing something in the company that you really do not enjoy, then you're not the right person to be doing that role.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee there's someone out there who actually will enjoy that role, whatever it is. Like people like different things, different mindsets. If you're not enjoying it, you know, the whole point about being in a new company is you get to forge your own way and build your own role, and you should be loving it every single day, even those tough days. So I think this is very, very kind of core. But like it's about, you know, solidifying that culture super early on when, you know, you're five people or less is hard to do, but if you do it, it will make the next stage of growth much easier. It'll help you compete. The rewards are kind of immeasurable, but it is hard. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you completely that, you know, there's a lot of talk about branding and logo and, you know, colors and fonts that you use on your website, and people forget that branding is actually the whole culture of the organization, the vision, what, you know, who's in it, what the bit day-to-day behaviors and all of that stuff, which as you say, I think it's really important that you address that up front.
Yeah.
And it's interesting the hiring thing, because we, you know, we have a slightly unique hiring process as well, in that we, you know, we kind of get people to demonstrate that they're competent to do the skills for the job that we're describing, but then, you know, the whole interview process is actually around culture and beliefs and, you know, what do the people believe and all of that kind of stuff.
That should be the first step in any hiring. Is you don't talk about the role, like, you know, like come back to that afterwards. I'll be honest, like I don't even look at CVs until afterwards. We obviously, everyone's doing a video when they apply for us. But, you know, we'll know within a minute if they're a right cultural fit. And then we'll have a conversation about that before we look at what they can do. Because I think, you know, the other thing is you hire or you train. And you can definitely train people into a role as long as they kind of align enough. But yeah, I think that hiring process, like, I enjoy it. It's exciting. It's tough, but there's definitely much better ways to do it these days. And culture, if you put culture at the heart, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, great advice. Now, having said all that, though, I imagine that, you know, managing, and we haven't talked a lot about venture yet, but managing two startup companies, and I know you've got other stuff on the go as well at the same time, that you probably need a lot of really good systems and processes in place to manage those companies and manage the growth and keep everybody on the same page and make sure everybody's getting the right communication and tools and stuff to enable them to do their job.
Yeah, definitely. It's a challenge. Yeah. I would not advise any young company to start two products. and this is why we resisted it, but we did it because we had to. There's also the opportunity side of it. We roughly split the team in two to those. In fact, Verbate has helped fund the growth of Bonjour, which has been great. And it's funny, you look at the number of companies who've started this way, and there are lots. You don't hear about it much, but you look at MailChimp. MailChimp was spun out of another product. Campaign Monitor, who are Australian, was spun out of another product. I think even the guys at Vero over here in Oz again, I think those guys, we do a lot of consultancy at the beginning. Even the guys at Buffer, I think, you know, kind of were similar. So, it's not uncommon for products to be birthed from other products. And there's lots of successful companies who've done that. And the funny thing is that having that gives them a really, really solid base to go and build the next step. But you're right, you need systems in place. I mean, do you want me to talk through some of the systems that we use? And
Yeah, that would be great.
So a lot of it is, a lot of it comes down to process, I think. We do have someone on the team who kind of runs, like Grant kind of runs the debate side of things now. So I probably focus more down on Bonjour. Now, obviously, I sit across both products as the kind of CEO, but it's about one of the main things here is empowering your team to make decisions and being able to rely on them to make those decisions for you. You come in an overview, and if someone makes a mistake, that's fine because you can rectify it. But I think, first of all, before any process comes in place, it's about empowering your employees to make those decisions so that everyone can move quicker. Rather than having to have 100 meetings or relying on one person. So if you give the right vision, the right culture again, then you should get more often than not the correct decisions being made. So next comes down to, you know, we use the same process across both companies. So for, you know, a lot of our CS, we use a tool called Intercom. So we talk to kind of users online and offline, and obviously, you know, we will do some automated messaging. But then we also use Bonjour to welcome everyone on both platforms. We use the same... we use Pipedrive for sales tracking across both companies. It's funny because one is more of a project-based company and one is more of a SaaS-based company, yet we can still use the same tools across most of them. That also means that if you ever need to, team members can flick between the two companies and the two stacks quite easily. All our development is done very similarly. So again, same stacks are built upon. Everything's AWS and our apps are built in the same way. So we actually leverage a lot of the tech across the two, which helps with efficiencies. Two, and if we learn something on one platform, we transfer it to the other one as well. So by necessity, we've ended up keeping a lot of the processes the same because we don't have the resources to broaden them. The main challenge is actually around direction, I think, because both products us have quite different directions and quite different clients. And therefore, every Monday we'll catch up on products and every Friday we'll run through numbers. And it's giving each product equal space in those numbers so that, you know, if one has a great week and one doesn't, we still need to give them both the same amount of time and go through them. So in fact, the biggest challenge is for a team, for a small team with two products, and managing expectations and keeping everyone, you know, driven and, I guess, excited about both products. That's the bigger challenge. The process side of it is quite easy. Does that help?
Yeah, that's good. I like that you're keeping consistency across the two organizations, and that obviously makes it a lot more efficient. But there's a lot of other stuff in what you said that really I think is fabulous. You know, the idea of delegating decisions and getting removing yourself as a bottleneck, which I think is, you know, in small businesses and startups often becomes a real issue that you know, the owner or the CEO becomes a bottleneck because there's just too much for one person to do. And then the idea of allowing mistakes because, you know, I think you said they can be fixed. It's pretty easy. So empowering people to act as if they can't fail. And then if they do, well, we'll just fix it up.
Yeah, it's funny to say, you might just understand I had a little Slack notification pop up. I left on by accident. So we Slack a lot. Because we have a team of three in the UK and now one in the States as well. It's maybe even slightly more complex is having a team around the world with a 10-person team as well. It's funny, this whole idea of 9-to-5 is not a thing within our company.
Yeah.
I've pretty blurred. And that's because everyone's having fun as well. It comes back to that point about, you know, make sure everyone's enjoying what they do. But you really need that empowerment thing if you're going to have teams overseas because you're not in the time zone, you're not there. But you just need to, obviously, when the decisions have been made, be across them and make. And all you're really doing is helping people think through the process and then bringing up the hard questions so that when they make the decisions, they're properly thought through. But Slack is awesome. I can't imagine how you run a team remotely without it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I've been running remote teams for probably 30 years or so, and I love it. I love one of the things that I'd envisaged years ago, and this is before, you know, we had the internet even, was the ability to actually run projects 24/7, or not 24/7, maybe 24/5 in the corporate world, because you had a team that was located in different time zones, and if you could hand stuff off to do. Now, in my corporate job, we were actually physically doing stuff, so that was not that easy to do, but there were projects we were running like that. Now, today, as you said, with tools like Slack, where you're communicating all the time, and particularly with your support systems, where, you know, people around the world log onto jump onto the website, and you've got the chat system there. You can do a live chat all the time, which is fabulous. So I really love that, and you know, I like the idea of making sure that, you know, all of those people can make decisions when they're, you know, when they're online.
Yeah, exactly. Look, and we're trying to get our response time down to an hour globally for all supports, which now with this States person starting, we should be able to do. I think one of the challenges we have is that as a company selling a customer success tool, so customer success is a term that kind of, I guess, covers kind of onboarding and support. And it's a lot more than support, but it's about the person who, it's like an online account manager, I guess. Yeah. But running a tool that does that means that we have to be the best at it.
Do we? Yeah, you have to model it.
we have to model it across everything we do. Yeah. Which is great, you know, like I think our kind of goal is to be the next Zappos in terms of customer service. But it does mean that we have to just be three steps ahead on every single thing we do, not just obviously using Bonjour.
Yeah. Right. I love that though in so many ways because it's, you know, that becomes part of the product.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. It's great. All right. Well, you talked about challenges in a new startup? Is there something you worry about? Is there something that keeps you awake at night?
Well, I think growth, always. And I don't remember. So a bit of a kind of story. My father ran a large archery company, so the biggest in the world now. It's now run out of the States by my brother. Started from nothing, kind of rags to riches kind of thing. And I was talking to him a couple of years ago because we pivoted twice to get to where we were. And it was a pretty hard time. You know, we kind of pulled out of the office, went back to coffee shops and kind of kept going. I chatted him times and said, look, this is pretty hard. Like, what do you do? And he said, look, he goes, at the time when our company was making the most money we've ever made, he goes, we couldn't make enough products. He's like, it was in all the movies, everything else. You know, the business was booming. He's like, I literally could not make enough products to sell. He said that he would walk the lanes of the UK at 5 a.m. in the morning for an hour every morning worrying about it. And he said, look, at the end of the day, we had the most to lose. You know, we had 500 employees in like four countries, more competitors coming in. We had to stay at the forefront. We had to keep being the best. And they did. But it's like that has its own pressures, you know, because you're then at the lead of the pack and you need to stay there. I think what he's saying is that basically, no matter where you get to in your business stage, you're always going to have the same worries. You're always striving to stay ahead. And that is obviously, if managed correctly, that's very healthy because it ensures that you don't become complacent. Mm. And so that with us, you know, I think we've just had our, like last week was our biggest ever week for signups and
congratulations. And
yeah. So we had kind of 200 signups around the world last week. I'm looking, we've already had another 70 signups over the weekend, so we'll smash it again.
That's awesome.
And everything week's getting bigger and bigger, you know, and our compound growth is growing, and yet I'm still going, we need to go faster.
Yeah.
But comes back to this, you know, this is what it takes to kind of, I think, really push boundaries, is that you need to not get complacent. You need to keep thinking, right, if only we could go faster, we could do this 2 weeks earlier, we could do this earlier. And it's funny, there's I think a good writer is kind of Josh Pigford at Bedmetrics. He talks about this idea of, you know, that especially in B2B companies, you don't really get hockey sticks. Mm. It's this iterative growth that cycle that you go through. And what's really good is to look at other companies out there, you know, like the MailChimps, the Buffers, like the other really successful B2B companies of the last kind of, you know, few years. And rather than going, oh, they're on, you know, $1 million a month or $10 million a month, look back in the early days and see how their growth went. Mm. So we look at those and it turns out that our growth is extremely akin to what they did at the same time in the business, which is really, really good. You know, like, and again, you have to keep pushing and keep trying new things. But I think to alleviate those pressures, just be aware that others have gone through the same process. And if you can find out those early stage metrics, it really helps. So,
yeah, that's great advice. And you mentioned about pushing the boundaries and the pressures of keeping ahead and having to do new things. I think I can't remember who said this. I heard this yesterday. I was listening to something and they said that the most successful people are those that are most at ease. I can't remember the exact words they used, but most at ease with uncertainty.
Yeah. So, I think I've heard the same quote.
So I thought, well, that reflects that in a lot of ways, which is, you know, you're always pushing the boundaries. You're always looking at the new things that can add value to what you're doing and keep you kind of being innovative, which is what the podcast is about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So coming back to a more fundamental question, then why do you do what you do?
Fun. Like, it's funny. I said this to an investor a while ago, and I said, look, what's the most important thing for you? Why do you do what you do? And I said, fun. And he just didn't get it. He's like, I wouldn't put that as a core. And I was like, here's the thing, you know, if you and your team are not having fun every day, how the hell do you get out of bed when you're in the bottom of one of these roller coaster ramps that you hit, you know, on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis, you know, when you're starting a new company. Again, no matter how big you get, it's a delight to be able to create new products and new experiences and have great customers who love that. And, you know, every single day, you don't know what's happening in, you know, next month or next week. Anything could happen. You know, we signed up a chap called Pat Flynn, joined us a couple of weeks
ago.
If you've heard of him.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the most prolific podcasters on the internet.
Yeah. So he's come on. He's outstanding. He loves what we do. Like, not just the product, the whole kind of ethos behind this, you know, going back to customers and taking time. He's behind a lot of this kind of growth we've got in the last week as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that ultimately kind of just came out of the blue. I think it's this idea of, you know, when you're doing and you're building this content management and doing the right thing, these things do appear. But that's incredibly rewarding and incredibly fun. And I had a great talk. I went to an event with one of our customers called Nautza, who are a finance company here in the state, in Australia. And they had a speaker, and I can't remember the chap's name, but he talked about he's a researcher into happiness. And he said that what they found was the core metric that kind of defines happiness is struggle, in fact. So what he was saying is that if there is no struggle, then happiness is not there. So in fact, there's countries like Qatar and stuff where they have incredible wealth and there's a super low level of happiness because no one has to strive to get anything.
Mm.
And so his point was, happiness comes from striving to achieve something and then achieving it. And the more difficult that is to get to, the more the level of happiness when you get there. And this is about continuing happiness. And you see it, you know, you see people who retire and stop working and the kind of happiness drops.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and those of us that keep striving. So I think, you know, we talk about personal, like this makes me incredibly happy doing what we do. And growing a team and growing a culture is incredibly rewarding. It's like growing a family. But it's not easy. And that's the whole point. If it was easy, we'd be bored.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a fascinating philosophy. I haven't read that book, but I mean, I can totally relate to what you say. And, you know, the sense of accomplishment you get having achieved something that actually required you to really push hard and really stretched you is obviously much bigger than something that kind of fell into your lap.
Yeah.
I was at an event couple of weeks ago where I was helping out. So it was a training event and the whole thing was about goal setting. And I was actually chatting to some people during the event and one person said to me, well, I don't really have any goals. And I was like, really? Like, I was astounded. Yeah, I sort of, how sad is that?
Yeah, it is funny. Like, I think everyone in life strives for this.
Mm.
And it's depending where you are, it's easier or harder to kind of reach it. But I think if you back people and back teams that have that struggle, I think it's a good place to be because you know if they're happy, then they'll keep, like, people want to stay happy.
Mm.
Like, we all want to be happy, so we'll keep striving to keep that going. But like you say, you need goals, you need areas you're going to. You don't have to know what's going to happen in 3 months. You don't have to know the future, that's fine.
Yeah.
You just need to stay and know that you're going somewhere.
Mm. All right. Now, I'm interested in your sales process because you mentioned, you know, obviously people are out there talking about Bonjoro and that. And I can't even remember how I found you, but are you actively promoting it?
So that as a founder, in fact, as a startup, we are always actively promoting it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny, you look at different ways to grow. And I actually run a founder group here in Sydney called XTech, where we take, you know, I think the last trip we did was 60 founders and investors away from the city for a weekend where we go surfing and kite surfing. And we're going snowboarding in a couple of weeks. And we do a few talks around these. So, you know, we had the head of operations for Delivery Hero there, going through how they raised $1.5 billion and brought 60 companies and stuff. And I think one thing I've deduced since running this over the last kind of 5 years as we've grown it is that I feel like every startup has one core competency that they are that they excel at. And that's why they're successful. I think you have to excel at one area. And these all kind of come back to growth. So you'll have teams who excel at marketing, and other teams that excel at sales and sales processes, and other teams that excel at growth hacking. Etc. And I've, like, ours again comes back to culture. And so we're not the best at PR. We're not the best at growth hacking. We're not the best at anything else. But what we are amazing at is building relationships with our customers. So obviously, like, here we are talking today because of this. Because I took the time to send you a video and kind of welcome you on board and go from there. And this is happening more and more. And it feels like we're kind of building this momentum, this kind of mountain of content and kind of ethos. And we're starting to attract teams and individuals like us to us. People who I think there's a better way and that want to connect with customers more and that have weird enough this kind of idea of, like, honoring business and doing the right thing. And it's almost like a bit of a movement. And so because we're placed at the heart of that to an extent, we're starting to attract the Pat Flynns and, you know, more to come and talk with us and kind of share the journey. And that's kind of how we've done it. And it hasn't been something that we've specifically targeted. I think we were just aligned very well having a culture and then having a product that sells culture.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pat Flynn, if you look at how we got there, I think we probably early on got a customer that sent out some Bonjouros, and then someone at ConvertKit picked that Bonjouro up and saw it, and then they signed up, and then they became a massive user. And then Pat Flynn hangs out with ConvertKit quite a lot, and then he saw it, and then he got talking to us. And then, yeah. And I'm sure someone will come off the back of Pat Flynn, and it'll go from there. But each interaction we've done our very best for that person, no matter how big or small. Yeah, not just the Pat Flynns, but every single small customer. And that stemmed from someone, I'm sure, who was totally small. I don't know where that came from. But if you treat every customer extremely well, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, you're going to get those. You're going to attract the right people to your company. And then when you write, and then when you blog, and then when you talk about it, and you do social media, it's very easy to keep the same consistent message. So I think that's kind of how we've done it. It hasn't really been so targeted as just a razor sharp focus on every single sign up and every single customer and doing the best we can for them. And that ultimately spreads word of mouth. And then when people come in, this whole idea of, you know, making sure we respond within an hour, if we can start a conversation with anyone, I know there's a much higher chance that we can convert them and bring them on the journey, because they start to get to know us, get to know why we're doing it, start to learn from us, learn from our customers. And so I think that ethos has helped us rather than a specific sales process.
Well, there's so much to like about that. And it, you know, it brings me back a little bit to, because, I mean, we're a marketing company. So one of the things, well, the thing we start virtually everything with is, who's your ideal customer? And so what you're actually doing is by living the culture and by, you know, being aware of, you want to deal with people and businesses that have a similar culture. So you're already filtering that ideal customer. And so having that first step in place, it kind of, everything else is following from there.
Yeah. I think we're incredibly lucky. Like I won't lie. The fact that we can work with cultures like ourselves as our customers is outstanding. It's funny, we've debated working with agencies. We're not an agency. And so we have obviously slight cultural mismatch. Yeah. And we work with the most fun agencies, and we have fired a few that don't fit us. But with Bonjouro, like, it will not work if you don't have a similar culture to us where you care about customers. So it makes work and growth and conversations a delight. I think we're incredibly lucky and fortunate for that.
Yeah. The product by design is only for people that have that mindset and culture, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, this has been fascinating, Matt. I want to go on to the buzz, which is our innovation round. And that's a series of five questions that hopefully you'll give us some answers that will inspire everybody to do something awesome today.
Yep. Great. Fire away.
Yeah. So what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
To be more innovative, I would say So live of an open mind. So I mean, question every single thing you ever do, every single thing. So if we are building something one way this year and we see something else in the market, or we think there might be a different way, we go and research it straight away. Even though we think we're the best at some of the video tech, if someone comes out with something that's interesting to us, we will go and see how they did it and make sure that ours is still the best.
Mm.
So I think this idea of zero complacency at all times.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, so question everything and don't be complacent. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
Honestly, I'd say it's team and culture. Like, I'm going to keep going back to this.
Yeah.
But I have come up with very few of our ideas. I really have. It's just a case of having a great team and then allowing a place where everyone can question and everyone can talk. And then when something does come through, going with that. And not just team, but actually listening to customers as well.
Mm.
In fact, I'd probably say 90% of Bonjour has been built by customers.
Yeah.
We didn't know what it was going to look like, and they built it for us, which is great.
Mm.
So just having a culture where everyone can talk, everyone can listen, and then you can evaluate those ideas and move forward.
Yeah, great advice. And I love the listening to customers and the idea that the customer actually built the product, or at least, you know, defined the product that you built.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is very consistent with the lean startup model, isn't it? So a lot of people put a lot of effort into something that at the end of the day isn't what the customer or the market wanted.
Yeah, you need to get out into the world.
Yeah, that's like, right.
Don't lock yourself away.
No. All right. What's your favorite tool or system for improving your productivity?
No, I'm going to have to say like Slack, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that's very much down to our team not all being in the same room. But it's fantastic. And I think where you really start to understand as well is when you get into the integration side of it. So for instance, we have a channel called Bonjour Feedback, whereby every time someone thanks a video, we just feed it straight in there so the whole team can see. We feed all of our metrics in there, so our growth every single day goes in there so the whole team can see. It allows us to be completely transparent and to automate a lot of updates so everyone kind of sees where we're at each day. Each moment, every single time a client tweets or a customer tweets or someone mentions Bonjour, it just appears in Slack and then we all know.
Mm.
So yeah, great. So I think there's kind of Slack level one and Slack level two, which is probably where we are, and it's probably another level where we can get to.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've got a lot of automation built in that sends things to Slack when they happen.
Yeah, it's all like build as much automation as you can, because it's and for the whole team, it's just awesome being able to see where everything is like per minute.
Yeah. And is there any plan to put Bonjouro, integrate Bonjouro with Slack? So you just go /Bonjouro and up comes the camera?
Yeah, so we've done, to the extent that what we do is we feedback results. We have a Zapier integration, which goes into Slack. So if somebody watches, opens, views, shares Bonjouro, you can actually have that tag straight into Slack. So if someone shares video to Twitter, you can have a notification in Slack straight away. We probably will do a dedicated integration down the line. It won't be to do video because Slack is doing video quite well. It'll be just to, I think, share results from the team's Bonjouro so the whole team can see when someone gets an awesome response saying, thanks so much, this is amazing, it made my day.
Mm-hmm.
All about just, I think, celebrating team and the efforts they're making within the wider company.
Yeah, all right. Right. So what's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
On track as in?
Headed in the right direction, keeping the timelines.
Yeah. First of all, set deadlines half the time that you think they should be, because they'll go twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
Look, and then you have to keep a finger on the pulse. So I think again, don't assume anything. Don't assume people will get things to you on time. Don't assume things will get wrapped up on time. Don't assume that people will do things correctly. And this comes down to kind of a lot of the design thinking mentality is just plan for every mistake and keep questioning and just keep a finger on the pulse to make sure that things don't go off track, because they will do. If you turn your head away or assume that someone will interpret something one way,
mm.
Every single time you'll have situations where it gets interpreted a different way and goes a different direction.
Yeah. great advice. So I love the idea of setting a deadline at half the time. So it forces you to actually be faster. Okay, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Culture and brand.
Yeah, culture and brand. Yeah.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like every single culture is unique, you know, like, and they should be. As you get bigger and corporatizes, cultures become less potent. So, especially when you're early on, define a unique culture, stand out, find other individuals in the world who match that culture and clients that match that culture, and you will nail that niche. But you have to work at it. It doesn't just come. Don't just expect it to happen.
Yeah.
Build the culture you want, and that will be driven by the founding team, what you believe is right and wrong.
That's right. That's great advice. And you have to live that culture, don't you?
Yeah, live it outside work, inside work. Destroy those boundaries.
Mm. Great advice. Thanks, Matt. So what's the future for Bonjoro and for Verbate then?
So the products are quite different directions in terms of market, but again, we're all kind of linked together internally. So we're not 100% sure how the two products will fit together as a company. I think ultimately what we're doing here is just changing the way that people communicate. And obviously video right now is at the heart of that. But we won't keep with the status quo and become complacent. So all I see is that over the next few years, our vision is to basically be the next Zappos. And what I mean by that is be the most loved brand company in the world. And I think just drive this mission of doing the right thing with customers, excellent customer service, you know, going above and beyond and just changing the way the business has been done with the world of automation that came in over the last 10 years. Scale is great, but it's time to turn back to customers and show them that you deserve them, I think. So if we can help the best companies in the world do that, Bonjoro is just the start, and Verbate is just the start of that. As long as we can keep that vision, we'll keep building products around that.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, so what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and productivity?
Look, I think back to this kind of status quo thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do. It's really hard to, like, in fact, I think it's hard as a CEO and leader to keep questioning things and to keep creative. I think creativity and innovation are synonymous. They mean the same thing, really. So I think you actually have to actively work at remaining creative, at questioning stuff. And this takes headspace. And if you're pulled into day-to-day work every single day, as you will be, it eats up your brain power and your headspace. And therefore, by the time you get home, you're ready to switch off. So I think you need these kind of recovery periods where you set your brain aside and kind of take another good look at the picture. And these should happen once a month at least, you know, where you work from home for a day and just switch off email and just look at where you're going, what you're doing, does it make sense, question everything, all your assumptions. If they're all correct, great, carry on. If they're not, then change.
Great advice. I'm a great fan of having those. In fact, I try to do it once a week. Recently, we took a bunch of business owners to Thailand for a whole week on a planning retreat. So it was, and as it turned out, I mean, we hadn't planned for this. It was a bit of a nuisance in several ways. The internet connectivity was very shaky there, but it turned out to be really good because it was a retreat. People didn't have other distractions. So the focus was very much on planning for their business. And there were some amazing transformations that came about just by focusing on that and clearing your headspace, as you said.
It's funny, I hate the fact that planes are now putting Wi-Fi on.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it was the one place in the world, and we do quite a lot of travel, the one place where no one can get you.
Yeah.
Just like, and you've got an excuse for it. You're like, sorry, I was on a plane.
Yeah.
Now people are like, oh, but planes have Wi-Fi, and I think it's just ruined the wonderful little escape route.
Yeah, that's right. I used to be able to just read some books that I never got to read anywhere else on the plane. Yeah,
exactly. It's a wonderful, it's a great headspace time. Try and keep it that way.
All right. Well, this has been fabulous, Matt. I really appreciate the time you've spent with us. Where can people reach out and connect with you?
If you hop into Bonjoro.com, you will hear back from all the team. You can always email me, matt@bonjoro.com as well. There's a good chance you'll get a video from me when you sign up.
Yeah.
To be honest, I still will keep welcoming customers every single day. Doesn't matter where you come from. If I'm asleep, it will be one of the other team.
Mm.
But you'll always be able to get in touch with us personally.
Great. So we'll have links to that in the show notes as usual. And finally then, Matt, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
How big can I go?
As big as you like. As big as you like.
Look, in terms of overseas, I'm a massive fan of Tony Hsieh still. Mm-hmm. And what he did was Zappos back in the day. I've heard him talk and he's excellent. And now that he's kind of moved on from that, I like to see his kind of reflections back on the cultural piece. As well, he really has been a leader there. I feel like he's got a few more tricks up his sleeve, but he's yet to kind of show us.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Get him?
Yeah. All right. That's great. Yeah. We'll work on that one. So, Tony, if you're listening to this, and it's unlikely that you will be right at the moment, but if you are, we're coming to get you for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Matt from Bonjoro.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mate.
Great. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time with us today, Matt. It's been a pleasure to have you on. And I wish you all the best for Bonjoro. I love the product, and also for Verbate, which I haven't looked at in any great detail, but it's probably not something that we have a need for right now, but I'm sure it's a great product. And certainly there'll be a great onboarding experience.
Excellent.
Great. So,
thanks for the time as well, Jürgen. I really do appreciate it.
So let's keep in touch.
Yep.
Thanks.
And keep the innovation going.
Thank you.
More of this is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Matt as much as I enjoyed speaking with him. He's certainly a passionate person, and Bonjoro is an exciting application. Matt's passionate about growing the business and about delivering excellence in customer service, as well as modeling that for his customers. All the great ideas and tips that Matt shared with us today can be found at innovabiz.com.au/Bonjoro. That is BONJORO. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/Bonjoro. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Matt there. And who knows, he might even respond with a Bonjoro back to you. Personalized video. We'd love to hear from you about what you take away from this podcast, and we'd love you to leave some comments to that effect on the comments section of the blog. Matt suggested I interview Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos. He may actually have left Zappos, I'm not quite sure, but certainly he was influential in building Zappos up to be a model company for the culture they've built and the customer service they provide. So Matt suggested I get him on a future InnovaBuzz podcast so that I can explore the importance of culture and customer service with Tony. So Tony, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Matt Barnett from Bonjoro. If you haven't already done so, please head over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll never miss a future episode. Of course, we always welcome feedback while you're there and reviews to let us know how we're doing. We also invite you to share the podcast with your friends and business associates that you think would benefit from the information. If there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, or guests you'd like us to interview, please send those ideas to us. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.